Well, today in the church is National Awareness for Vocations Weekend. And so I thought maybe after introducing the topic of vocations a little bit, since I've been here for a couple months, it might be appropriate for me to share my own vocation story and how I became a priest and then connected to the gospel for all of us. Now, in the Second Vatican Council, we hear that each one of us is called to our primary vocation is that of holiness. That each one of us, the purpose of our life is to become holy, which is to be holy is to be like God, which is really beautiful to think about. That our first purpose in life is to be like God. It's a beautiful thing. Also speaks to why it's so hard to be like God, because we're oftentimes not God. And yet then we have our, that's what the church calls secondary vocations, which become the easiest way for us to become like God and to be holy. And these secondary vocations are what we think of as the priesthood, religious life, diaconate, consecrated single life, and marriage. That when we live out these vocations, it naturally kind of draws out holiness from us and kind of allows us to become more of ourselves, which is to be like God. And so when, I think you've maybe noticed that when, especially those who are married, that sometimes, right, your spouse brings the best version out of yourself. And so that when we're living out these second vocations, they often bring out the best version of ourself and help us to be more holy. And so now to maybe just share some of my own vocation story. So as I've mentioned in the past, I come from a family of seven. So my two parents who are here, I'm not going to point them out, but they're so they get to listen to this as well. But my parents and there's five children, and I'm number four of five. And I was thinking about priesthood even when I was very young. It was something that just was kind of on my heart right away. And there are two priests in particular who had a great impact on my vocation. And many of you may know one or both of them. And the first priest was at Holy Family Parish in Whitefish Bay at the time. He was the associate pastor there, and that was Father Tim Kitsky, who's now the rector at the Cathedral in Milwaukee. And the other priest was at Our Lady of Good Hope in Glendale, who is now Bishop Don Hine, at the time was Father Don Hine. And both of those priests were younger when I was growing up, and they would often come over for dinner and share a meal with us, but then they'd often start playing games with me and my siblings. They'd play basketball with us, they'd play tag. And so my first impression of priests was that these were really cool guys. That I would hang out with them, I'd play with them, they're a lot of fun, they looked like they were having fun. And then when I'd go to Mass, I'd see them in their fancy garments, and they looked like they were doing important things. And so my first inclination towards priesthood was a very natural one, almost like one would look up to a sports figure and be like, well, I want to be like them because they're really cool. And that's my first desire, is I want to be like these priests. Be able to have fun, but also kind of dress in these fancy robes, and I don't even know what that means, but looks pretty cool. And so very early in that was what I wanted to do. And so when people would ask me when I was young, what do you want to be when you grow up? I'd always tell them two things. One, a priest, and the other was a football player. And so I don't know which like one was more unreasonable, but obviously the football player one. But so it reached the point that I wanted to imitate them, these men that I saw. Just as like when we see when people are playing basketball, they will yell out Colby when they take a shot. We want to imitate those that we look up to. And so I wanted to imitate these priests. And so I actually, my parents got me a little Mass kit, and I would play Mass at home. And so I would, my servers would be these, my siblings would be the servers, I would preach to them, I had little wafers for communion, and I even would hear my siblings' confessions, which, was, yes, quite enlightening. And I have to say, I was a bit of a harsh confessor, maybe because I knew them, and I would give them like 20 rosaries as a penance and things like that. Now, they did, to be fair, they were pretty nasty people, I have to say. They were confessing that they murdered like 10 people. So, Mom, Dad, you're listening, so you didn't know that about your kids, but they're house of murderers. So I grew up again like imitating and just doing this because it seemed so cool and seemed so fun. Well, fast forward to now being in eighth grade, and we moved to Mequon, and we came across, we began to kind of just look for a parish that kind of felt like home, as many of us do. And we happened to go to St. Josephat's Basilica down in Milwaukee. And the beauty of that building, and especially also the Franciscans who ran it, the Franciscan priests, really just made us feel like this was the place to be. And so I began to serve as an altar server at St. Josephat Basilica. And it was there that this notion of the priesthood began to take on a different dimension. As now I was right with these cool priests, but I began to see a different side to them. I began to see this great love, devotion, and reverence that they had for Mass, and particularly for the Eucharist. And seeing that, just seeing this, not only that they like were these fun people, but these people had this, such a deep faith and love and belief in Mass and the Eucharist, really touched my heart. And I began to really fall in love with serving at Mass, because seeing their love for the Mass increased my own love for the Mass. And so it reached a point that even when I wasn't serving and I was in the pews, I felt like something was off. I felt out of place. Whereas when I was serving at the altar, serving at Mass, I felt like I was home. Just felt like things were right, that I was where I was supposed to be. And this was particularly important because this happened in, again, in eighth grade. And so as I entered into high school, and as we often do, as high schoolers, we begin to face that question of, was my parents' faith, am I going to take that as my own faith? It's like kind of that wrestling match that we can have with God in high school. And going to Mass and really having this love for serving really kept my faith alive during those years. As I began to answer that question for myself, like, okay, am I just going through the motions because it's my parents' faith, or am I taking this and accepting this as my own? And serving really allowed me to answer that question fully because I fell so in love with the Mass. And so by the time I became a senior in high school, I realized that I was going to have to take a bit more seriously this notion of priesthood that was on my heart. And so I thought, well, I think the best way to do it would be to go to a Catholic university, and that way I can get involved and discern the priesthood in kind of a, you know, quiet way. And so I was all set to go to Franciscan University in Steubenville, Ohio. I had my roommate, I had my class schedule, I was all set to go. And then a kind of a last-minute meeting with my brother, who's in the financial world, he'd made me realize just how expensive sometimes Catholic schools can be. And so I kind of had this realization that if I didn't want to come out with a lot of debt, I was just going to have to be working and going to classes. And I thought, well, that would really inhibit my ability to discern. And so at the very last minute, I unenrolled from Steubenville and enrolled in UW-Milwaukee, here at home, close to here. And I was really kind of unsure of what to do because I was going to major in theology at Steubenville and obviously can't do that at a public university. And so I was kind of at a loss of what to do, but I did know I wanted to stay connected with my Catholic faith and the Catholic community. And so on the very first day of classes, I went to the Newman Center, who also happened to have a free lunch for new students, which is also appealing. And so I went and I got my food and I went outside and I sat down. And just as about to start eating, this man dressed in black came and sat right across from me. And he introduced himself as Father Luke Strand, the vocations director at the time for the seminary. And we got to talking, and here my mind's going like, wow, okay, this is no coincidence that I thought I had to go all the way to Ohio to the CERN, and yet God at a public university of all places was gonna help me with this priest. And so I got to talk with Father Luke, and we were kind of having some serious conversations about seminary, but I still needed a push to really make that decision. And that push, the most important push, really came about at St. Robert's in Shorewood. They have this beautiful, every Wednesday night, it's called Cor Jesu. They have a beautiful night of, starting at 6 p.m., confessions, adoration, and mass. And so I started going to that night on a regular basis. And one night in particular, during adoration, I remember exactly where I was in the church. I was in the left-hand side of the church, kneeling on the marble floor, right by one of the pillars. And I was praying with an adoration. And I had this incredible moment. It's really hard to explain, as most God moments are. But as I was praying, I no longer saw the Eucharist as, I didn't see the bread of what the Eucharist, of Jesus contained in the bread. But I saw Jesus in the Eucharist. That in the monster, which was no longer bread, but I saw Jesus. And it's a very powerful moment, as you can imagine. And in that moment, just kind of naturally erupting from my heart, came the question, Lord, do you want me to be a priest? And I heard a voice that was not my own say, yes. So I remember driving home that night, just giddy with excitement, to tell my parents the good news. And then I applied and entered seminary, and that was the college seminary, was at Loyola University in Chicago. So I spent 3 years there until coming back to Milwaukee. Now, oftentimes when you listen to priests' vocation stories, it often ends in seminary, where it's like, okay, great, went to seminary, rest is history, here I am. And yet I have to say, those 7 years of seminary were some of the spiritually most difficult years that I've experienced. Because when I entered into seminary, I thought that, you know, I had my answer. God clearly told me that he wanted me to be a priest. That's all I would need to hear, right? And we can have that notion ourselves. I'm sure as I ask this question many times, you've asked this too of God, of saying, Lord, if you just tell me what you want, I'll do it. Like, just tell me where you want me to go in life. Tell me what you want to do, and I'll do it. Just let me know. And I realized, and I was shocked to find this out in seminary, that that wasn't enough. That even though I knew what God wanted, there was a question that I had never seriously asked. And that was, did I want to be a priest? That my whole life was focused on, you know, God, what do you want? I'd never asked if I wanted the priesthood as well. And I didn't know and realize until I got to seminary how hard it was going to be to confront that. Because, right, I felt this pressure of saying, well, how could I say no to God? I can't even consider what I want to do if I want to be a priest, because God wants me to be a priest. And how can I say no to God? And yet I began to really wrestle with God in seminary, because I began to become very angry with God, because I felt like he was making me do something I didn't want to do, because how could I say no to God? And so I really began to wrestle with God and struggle with this, until one night in the chapel, I just had this heart-to-heart with God. And I said, Lord, you know, I just can't take this roller coaster anymore. This excitement for ordination and then wanting to leave. Excitement, wanting to leave. Like, I can't, I'm like, this is exhausting spiritually. I can't take this. And so I said, you know, I'm going to stand on what I can, and that is that you told me you wanted me to be a priest. And so I'm just going to kind of throw it all on you. And I said, you know, Lord, I don't care how I'm feeling today or tomorrow. I don't care what I'm thinking today or tomorrow. I don't care about what happens. I am just going to stay in seminary until you just as clearly tell me to leave as you just as told me to enter. And in that moment, and the Lord was like so gracious in that time, but he just like gently spoke to my heart and he said, Tim, you don't have to be a priest. I'm not telling you you should be a priest. I'm showing you that you could be a priest. And I'm just inviting you into this, to live this life as a priest. And I was kind of caught off guard, but it really rearranged my perspective and opened my mind. And my response was immediate. It was amazing. As soon as I realized that I could say no to this invitation to be a priest, my answer was, oh, of course, yeah, I want to be a priest. It's been something that I've been looking at my whole life. Why wouldn't I want to be a priest? And yet, having this experience of the Lord giving me the freedom to choose to say yes or no to the priesthood empowered me to say yes and to dive full in. And once that happened, then everything really kind of fell into place. And then when I was ordained a deacon in my sixth year of seminary, it was just one of the happiest days of my life, and then capped by ordination to the priesthood. And these 4 years as a priest have just been incredible. But I think that's what I learned from my vocation story, I think for all of our vocations, is that God works in coulds, not shoulds. And I think that's so important because so many times we can be in that same place of living in what we should do. Well, I should pray. I should do this. I should love my spouse. I should love my children. I should love my parents. And there's a time for that. As you know, duty calls sometimes, and there are things that we just have to do. But I think our Lord really wants us to live in this invitation of could. Because just listen to the difference of how could you pray? How could you love God? How could you love your spouse? How could you love your children? There's a whole new invitation in that. I think that is the key for us loving the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, and our neighbor as ourself. Is how can we do that? Not how we should. Because when we feel that should, we feel that pressure, and we have this kind of innate rebellion of I'm not going to do that. And yet once we realize that the Lord's inviting us, he's saying, I'm showing you what you could do, not what you have to do. And all of that just rearranges our perspective and allows us, empowers us to do even more than we thought the should was asking us to do. Because now we're doing it with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength. And so today, as we kind of become aware of vocations, not only to priesthood, religious life, and diaconate, but also our vocations that each one of us has, may we consider how are we living that life of should in our vocations, of how should we be doing this, and allow the Lord to take that burden off our shoulders and listen to that whisper, that invitation of how could. How could we love our neighbor? How could we love our God? How could we love our spouse? How could we love ourselves with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength? And then we'll find that our vocation is one of the greatest gifts that God gives us.